Greetings, everyone. This is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. We're going to have the sermon for February 5th in 2023. I cannot believe we're already moving into the second month of this year. Time is just flying by. Our text today is 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 12. We're going to begin with prayer today. Talk a little bit about our topic, read some scripture, and then have communion together and close with the benediction. So if you want to gather your communion elements right now, bread and wine, we can have that already before we get started. So let's start with prayer now. Father, thank you that we can be here together today. Thank you for giving us your Son and your Spirit so we can live in relationship with you. We ask today that we can meet Jesus and come to see himself, see him for who he is, and in that process, see ourselves for who you have always meant for us to be in relationship with yourself and the Spirit. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. No, today I want to talk a little bit about having a shiny, salty heart. And that is because even though our passage today is in 1 Corinthians, we're also going to talk a little bit about the gospel passage for today, which is in Matthew 5, 13 to 20, I believe is what that one is. So we're going to talk a little bit about both, because what we're going to talk about is our hearts. And we're going to talk about it from the point of view of, as we live our life in Christ and we begin to love and serve one another, what does that look like? And Jesus is calling us to be salt and light in this world. But if we know ourselves well enough, that's a real challenge. I'm taking a couple classes right now with Grace Communion Seminary. I encourage you to take classes through them if you can. And one of the classes is called Practice of Ministry. And this is learning to actually take what I believe and practice it, apply it in everyday life situations, in relationship to others, in the context of doing ministry, of course, and sharing the gospel. Now, for some people, this practical, hands-on way of doing ministry is very easy. It comes naturally to them. For others like myself, it's more of a challenge. I have to be very intentional. I have to pray a lot. I need God's Spirit to really walk with me through this whole thing. And that's actually kind of a little bit about what Paul is saying in this passage in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 12. In the New American Standard Bible, it's written like this. It says, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God." So he wasn't trying to prove anything by, you know, having this great ability to speak and all this great wisdom. He knew who he was. He was genuinely humble about this. He says in verse 2, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So Jesus Christ was central to the gospel he was preaching. And he says in verse 3, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Verse 4, "And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." He didn't want them to be counting on him. He didn't want them to be looking to him. He wanted them to be counting on Christ, on seeing Christ at work in them by the Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, "Yet we do not speak wisdom among those who are mature, A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed him through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And so he's saying that here is this mystery, something about Christ. And Christ, this mystery of Christ, the gospel, who he is and what he's done, is revealed to us by the Spirit who comes and lives within us. In chapter 2, verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. To understand the things of faith, the things regarding Christ, we need God's Spirit, God living in us by the Holy Spirit. And Paul just gets right to the bottom of things. He says, you know, I don't have superiority of speech. He wasn't that excellent a speaker. And he didn't have humongous sorts of wisdom that people could really admire and look up to. When he preached the gospel, he was just there preaching the gospel. And he was just laying it out there as he knew it. He was weak. He was fearful. He was, you know, he, like some of us, we get up to speak and we're just like nervous wrecks. But we're counting on the Spirit. It was the Spirit speaking in him and through him. And so the faith, the people came to faith by listening to him. It wasn't because of Paul's excellence. It was because of what God was doing in them and through them by the Holy Spirit. It was the Spirit at work in their hearts and minds. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I can't share the gospel. I don't know what to say or how to say it. Well, when we present the gospel, we do the work of ministry and loving others and caring for others. What are we counting on? What are we resting on? Our own ability to get it perfect and get it right? Or are we depending on having the perfect presentation so we plan it all out and get it exactly how we think it needs to be? Are we counting on our giftedness, that we just have that knack? Or are we simply counting on Jesus Christ in us by the Holy Spirit working through us? When we trust in Christ and allow him to do what he wants to do in us and through us, that is when spiritual fruit is born, and that is when people's lives are changed. The effectiveness of the gospel message is the mystery of Christ in us by the Holy Spirit. And I think this actually, I mean, it reaches into every part of our life. We can ask ourselves when we're struggling, when things just aren't how we think they should be, are we living by our own strength? Are we functioning as though somehow we're orphans in this world, abandoned, left to try to figure it all out by ourselves? Are we acting as though it's all up to us? And if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes that's exactly what's going on. We've forgotten who we are. You know, and when we're in that space where it's not working right, and things just aren't going the way we think they should go. I mean, what happens when the world we're in, the way things are, It just doesn't work the way we expect. When our expectations aren't met in a relationship, in a situation, in an activity, when our expectations aren't met, what happens? I wonder sometimes if we don't end up a little bit like the Apostle Paul when he was in that rage, and that rage against anyone who was a believer in Christ, and he was taking them all to prison, and he was imprisoning them and having them killed and executed. It's that rage against God and how he was running the world. How dare he? But in reality, what did it take for Saul, who became Paul, to make that transition, that turnabout face? What did it take for that to happen in his life, for him to make that huge about face where he began to live in total dependency upon God? He encountered Jesus Christ for himself. Where Jesus came to him and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And then Paul began to have to see the world through a whole different lens. Every person he persecuted was connected to Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Every person he was persecuting was beloved of the Father. And he was beloved of the Father. Ooh. The powerful healing and transformational work of the Spirit became evident in Paul as he began to totally change in how he approached life and how he approached relationships and what he understood about who Jesus was and who he was as God's child. You know, it's interesting. I run into this. We're going to kind of go off on a tangent here, but it's all applying here because we're talking about the heart. And in our culture, a lot of times I'll be watching a movie or reading something, and one person will tell the other person, "You need to follow your heart." Now, when I was growing up, what I was told was Jeremiah 17:9 in the King James Version. I had to memorize it. So the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that just echoes through my brain when I hear that. You need to follow your heart. But what does the Bible actually say about the human heart? I think sometimes we don't fully understand what the Bible says about the human heart. What's interesting in the context of Jeremiah 17, it says in verse 5, "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." In verse 10, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind even to give each man according to his ways." But it also says what's interesting in verse 14. It says, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved." I think we have to come to that place where we realize that apart from God, there's something wrong with our heart. And yet, that's not how our heart was created and meant to be. And that is what we have to remember. Because Satan likes to tell us our heart is evil, that we are wicked, and that our heart, he does whatever he can to destroy our heart, that's for sure. Now, we look at the truth. What is the truth about our hearts? The truth is, what God made was lovely and beautiful. God said it is very good. There was nothing bad about our hearts when he created us. Our hearts, we had good hearts. And our hearts were created to live in warm, loving fellowship of other-centered love with God and one another. We're created this. But we fell from that. We made a choice to turn away from that relationship of love. That didn't surprise God. It's interesting that in the same prophet Jeremiah said in verse chapter 31 that God was going to write his law on our minds and hearts. That God was going to equip us, make it possible for us to live in such a way that we can be in right relationship with God and one another. God always meant that for us. And he promised us, even in the Garden of Eden, he told Adam and Eve that he was going to crush the serpent's head, even though it would cost suffering and death of his Messiah. We had that promise from the very beginning that God would make it possible for us to love him and love one another. The whole reason Jesus comes is to give us new minds and hearts and enable us to live in right relationship with the Father in the Spirit. God is not overwhelmed by the strange things that we say and do as human beings. Our sin, our falling away from him, does not surprise him at all. Now, he doesn't want to leave us that way. That's the whole point of Jesus coming, is to say, this is who you are. Jesus enables us to participate in his own relationship with the Father and the Spirit. And he says to his disciples, and he says to us, you are salt and you are light. He knows who we are. He knows who he created us to be. He says, you are salt and you are light. Not because we go out and we make ourselves shiny. And not because we go out and make ourselves salty. If anything, so often we do the exact opposite. We are always doing things that make us lose our saltiness or lose our shininess. That's our habit as human beings. The only reason we're salt and light is why? Who God is and who Jesus is. And the reality that he comes to us in the Holy Spirit and lives in us. His life in us by the Spirit adds zest and flavor to life, to this world. Enables us to shine in a dark world. Interesting, Paul, you know, we were talking about him. And he says this in one of his writings. When God was pleased to reveal Christ in me. You see, Paul went from persecuting Christ by persecuting believers to recognizing that Jesus lived in him by the Spirit. And when he came to see that, it changed everything. And all of a sudden, Paul's life began to bring light to a dark world, began to be salt, a heavenly flavor in a corrupt society. And Jesus says, do that. Jesus says, this is who you are. He is the light of the world. You are the light of the world. He is the heavenly flavor. You know, you are the salt of the earth. We're meant to bring light and heavenly flavor to this world. And we're given Christ in the Spirit so we can. This world desperately needs to know. People need to know they're not orphans. People need to know they're not doing it all on their own. They need to realize Christ lives in us by the Holy Spirit. We want to be united with Christ. All of life is a participation in Christ's life by the Spirit. Christ says to us, I am in the Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Wow. All of life is in Christ. We're not off on our own trying to figure it out. We're not having to do all this. And when it doesn't go as we expect, whose problem is that? I'm thinking the one who runs the universe has got it. It's a matter of us being willing to let him be who he is, Lord of all, and allowing ourselves to be who we are, God's children, beloved, in Christ by the Spirit. And that's what eternal life is. We can live that now, everyday life, in relationship with God in the Spirit. We come together in communion and we're reminded weekly that we died with Christ. We rose with Christ. We share in his glory now and forever by his Spirit. We're so blessed. So we come to the communion table and let us pray together and we'll take the elements. Thank you, Father, for giving us life. Life in your Son by the Spirit. Thank you that we're in Christ and Christ is in us and in you, and we're just one, and we're so grateful. We receive once again this great gift of life you have given us through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, as he broke the bread and offered it, eat, this is my body broken for you. We receive, Jesus, your broken body for us. Thank you. And we receive also Jesus' poured out blood. Thank you for this gift. Now may Jesus Christ, the one who is the center of your life, fill you with his wisdom and power, that God may be glorified in you and through you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. Hope to see you again here on Our Life in the Trinity. Have a good week.